Hello, everyone. Before we get started with this podcast, we'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we are meeting today, the Ngunnawal and the Ngambri people, and pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing contribution they make to the life of our city and this region. We'd also like to acknowledge the custodians of all the lands from where anybody listening to this podcast is also joining us from.
Except for WA, ACT is the only state or territory there European wasps are declared pests. European wasps have nests with large numbers. They're often in our public spaces, so we feel the need that we need to intervene to make our places safe, anything that we can do to help the community. We're into year three now, so we're a little bit down the track, thank goodness. And so we've learned a lot. We've managed to improve on our trapping techniques with help from consultants. And now we feel like we've learned enough that we're doing everything on our own. We've been able to reduce the number of traps we put out, but still capture the same or more wasps.
Welcome to Public Sector Unearthed, a Work with Purpose spin-off series about the people who drive grassroots change and reform in Australia's public sector. My name is Julia Ahrens and I'm IPA ACT's Communications and Engagement Manager, and I'm really excited to be back as your host today. On Public Sector Unearthed, as you know, we are putting people and their stories front and centre. Our guests talk about their journeys in the public service and how they're making a difference that can be through projects they work on, mentoring, communities of practice, diversity and inclusion networks, and the effective promotion of the values and purpose of the public sector. The voice you heard at the beginning of this podcast is Danielle Patterson, who is an invasive plant and invertebrate pest officer with Transport Canberra and City Services Directorate. Daniel started his career as a horticultural apprentice and now manages the European Wasp Control in Canberra. This program is a first, targeting nests across the ACT, and as you'll hear, it's gone from strength to strength. This initiative even earned the team a 2023 Spirit of Service Award in the Breakthrough category. As you'll hear, Daniel has always wanted to work in a space that directly affects the Canberra community and their backyards. Let's hear from Daniel now. Daniel, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, let's start with your journey into this role. Like, wasp control is obviously quite a specialized area. Can you tell us a bit more how you got into this role?
Yeah, it's a little bit different to the norm. So I've had a career now in the ACT public service for over 20 years, and I started as a horticulture apprentice. So, and I've stayed with the department the whole time. And so I progressed. We have a specialized pest management team, and so I progressed into their team and started learning about some amenity weed control and invasive weed control, and then some pests. And one of the pests that we deal with in the urban area is European wasps, and so they've been growing and growing over the years. And now I've progressed into this role now where I manage that program.
Yeah. So obviously coming from Germany, I know a little bit about European wasps and what it means when they're around in big numbers.
Yep.
Why is it necessary in Canberra to control them?
Except for WA, ACT is the only state or territory there European wasps are declared pests. So even though everyone knows that they're a pest like other species or animals, they're actually declared. So there is legislation behind people sometimes need to control declared pests. And for ACT government, I think we're very community focused. So European wasps have nests with large numbers. They're often in our public spaces. So we feel the need that we need to intervene to make our places safe. But they also pester people, you know, businesses or at home and places like that. So anything that we can do to help the community.
They're definitely very stressful to have around. I can attest to that.
Yeah, they're quite aggressive.
They absolutely are, and they go straight for the eyes or the mouth. And yeah, no, it's definitely a good thing that you want to keep them under control. But how did the project first start?
Well, we're solution-based, I suppose, thinking is always at the front of our mind. And so with other programs, we always look at preventative action. And with European WASC, everything's been reactive. So there's never been anything before that we can target WASCs without them being there in the first place. And so once we found out and once we were told, hey, there's a new product coming available that we should trial from our consultant, told us that there's this new thing coming out, we were jumped on it straight away and said, we need to trial this and see if that we can, one, if it works in the Canberra environment, never been trialed here before, and also the potential that it had to help was something that we definitely wanted to explore.
So take us through the mechanics of it a bit. How do you trap the queens? Because it's mainly about the queens, as I understand it.
It is completely about the queens. Mm. So the queens, we're in autumn now. And so very shortly, the queens will start to leave nests and they will breed and then they'll hibernate over winter. And so when they emerge from hibernation in spring, they need to fend for themselves and they need to feed themselves. They will start creating their own nests. And so as part of that process, they will, of course, need to feed themselves. And the first thing they look for is carbs. So they're in search of carbohydrate sources to feed themselves, like I think any of us when we...
It's just about to say that sounds very common for humans as well.
Yeah, and especially, you know, when we hibernate or we chill out, we need that sugar hit.
So
the product that we use is carbohydrate-based. And so Sunju Solutions has made... They've got a complete package. So they have designed and developed this. It's a non-toxic, non-chemical, eco-friendly product, which is just ticks all the boxes for ACT government and other users. And it attracts the European WASC because it's carbohydrate-based. Mm. So they come in thinking that it's food and the lure is liquid and it sits inside a specially made, it's called a dominator trap, and it's got two entry holes which have one-way valves. So once the WASC get in, they can't get out.
All right. And then do they just die in there or
So they either fall into the liquid, it coats them because after a period of time it goes quite jelly, and so it coats the wings so they can't fly away, and then either they die in there or then when we come to inspect the trap we euthanize them. Yes.
Okay. So can you tell us, obviously you go out and do this mm-hmm. quite frequently. Can you tell us of an example of a particular nest that has really stuck in your mind, like a story of that, how you've removed a specific nest?
Yeah, and, so generally we don't remove nests because they're normally in the ground.
Mm.
And so there has been, in the last few years, there has been quite a change where it's becoming more common that they nest in residential or in buildings, and so they'll get into people's roof voids, under older houses, and nest under houses, or even in wall cavities. Mm. So they'll sneak in there. So I'm glad that I don't have to deal with those ones because they're quite dangerous when they're very exposed like that. But one that sticks in my mind that I've been out to treat was one of our maintenance depots has a storage yard, and they had the bobcat operator there loading the truck with soil, and he cut with his bucket, he cut through like half of the nest, and of course wasps went
everywhere. Did he get stung?
Luckily he was in a sealed cab.
Oh god.
But as you can imagine, a lot of our other staff or mower operators or even members of the public, when they step on a nest or something, don't have that luxury. It is quite common for people to be stung in that situation. Yeah. So I did go out shortly after and treated the nest, but it was amazing to see that it was just clean cut in half, and you could see all the layers and all the cells, and it's quite, you know, a unique and very beautiful nest when you look at a European WASC nest. And
the architecture is quite pretty. Yes,
and all the work that would go into it. So yes.
Yeah.
So that one just sticks out in my mind.
No, I can imagine. And probably for the guy who was driving the bobcat as
well. Yeah, absolutely. And it was quite large. So they say an average European WASC nest, mature WASC nest is about the size of a basketball, and this one was about double that size. Yeah.
So going back to that idea of luring the queens out, once the queen is gone, how does the hive behave after that?
Well, part of the program, when we trap the queens, that prevents any nests from happening in the first place. So without the queen, the nest can't even establish from the beginning. So that's why it's such a good preventative practice, because they're a preying insect and they consume so many, you know, other insects and things that takes food sources from our native animals and things like that as well. So it program when we start in spring, and if we can prevent nests from even forming at the start, then the environment's so much better for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's always better to tackle it with preventative measures than trying to get in when the beautiful architecture has already been built and
absolutely.
Then you have to destroy it.
Yep.
It's much more difficult, plus much more dangerous as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you hoping where this program will go in the future?
Well, when we started this, we're into year three now, so we're a little bit down the track, thank goodness. And so we've learned a lot from the first 2 years especially, and we've managed to improve on our trapping techniques with help from consultants. And now we feel like we've learned enough that we're doing everything on our own. So I've got support, a great team of support around me, and we've skilled ourselves up with all the knowledge absorbing from the use of specialists and consultants, and we still get support from the manufacturer, Sundew Solutions. So that's in itself is another challenge to take that on, but we're comfortable where we're at, and we've been able to reduce over the years, the 3 years now, we've been able to reduce the number of traps we put out but still capture the same or more wasps. So when we started, we caught, I think, about 640 wasps with 180 traps. And then just this spring gone, we deployed only 100 traps, but we caught just under 1,500 wasps. So it's, you know, our techniques are improving. We're getting better at it. So that's one thing that's exciting for us, that our programs are working. In terms of direction, where we can take it, we're very blessed, the ACT community, and we have a great volunteer program. And so we have volunteers that just want to help out in their urban parks around their community, or they do conservation work on some of our remnant conservation sites just within the urban area. And I think it would be positive if in the future we could get the community to assist us with the trapping program, because it's, like we said before, it's eco-friendly and it's a non-toxic product. And
safe.
And we have this great group of volunteers that want to make a difference in their community. And I think that this program would be a great asset to get them involved with. So that's some of the things that I'm thinking of. Some of the sites where volunteers work, we're already trapping. Mm. So it just makes sense to partner better with the local community and get better outcomes.
Absolutely. So when we talk about local communities and maybe people on the ground who are currently listening to this podcast and go like, I'm not actually sure, how do I actually distinguish a European wasp from like other local native species? What do people need to look out for?
Yeah. So, and you're spot on there, because although they're not native, European honeybees are often mistaken because they're a similar size and colour. They're a little bit duller in colour, but they're similar. Their traits aren't the same and they don't feed on the same. So the difference with wasps, of course, is that they will eat protein as well. They're definitely not fussy scavengers. But on our website, on the City Services website, we have some ID images and things to help assist with people that look close lookalikes. And so some of our native wasps, like the mud dauber wasp or the native paper wasp, we've got those images on there. And then we've got the European honeybee, which we like to protect as well. And then we've got the nasty European wasp.
Is it listed as the nasty European wasp?
It's not listed as the nasty European wasp, but
should be.
It should be, yeah.
Absolutely.
Their behaviour sometimes definitely dictates that.
100%. So listeners, you would have heard, we'll leave a link in the show notes to the website so you know how to identify the European wasps. And also, Daniel, I'd love to hear from you. How can people reach out to you if they discover a nest or discover, you know, just wasp flying around their property or public spaces? Yep. How can they get in touch?
Yeah, well, on our same page on the website, we have a direct reporting section. So we got a smart form on the website so that people can fill it in. It's got a map. They can drop a pin and then most likely I'll get in contact with you and say, hey, we've treated your nest or we, you know, how can I help out? Yeah, because often, especially with businesses or some things, they will get streams of wasps just coming and pestering the customers or attracted to their delicious foods that they might be selling and they might not know where a nest is. Mm. So in those sort of situations, which normally happens around now in autumn, we can come out and assess and do some wasp tracking. And we can track, see if we can track the wasp back to a nest and destroy it to help those customers out.
Perfect. So, Canberrans, keep an eye out for wasps and make sure to report them to Daniel. And you get to work with Daniel and hear possibly a bit more about European wasp control in Canberra. Thank you so much, Daniel, for coming onto the pod today. It was great talking to you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Listeners, I hope you really enjoyed this conversation with Daniel. It was really something that was close to my heart because I have definitely experienced European wasps extensively in my time in Germany, including eating my cake and my sausages. And it was always made me very, very sad. And it's an unfortunate thing that they do love to go straight for your nose and face. So it's good to hear that we are controlling this invasive species here in Canberra. And it really goes to show that working in the public service goes beyond developing policies and handling paperwork and that there's just so much more to it. To hear about these kinds of innovative approaches about tackling nests and queens and making sure that, you know, passionate people do the important work of the public service. Daniel's team's work was clearly a very deserving winner of the Spirit of Service Awards last year. And if you think your team is working on a similarly exceptional project that is changing Australia's communities for the better, you might want to nominate for this year's SOS Awards. Our nominations are now open, so make sure to check out act.ipa.org.au for more information. So listeners, what did you enjoy about the story? Make sure to let us know by leaving a comment on our social media channels or even better by writing a review. We really love reading those and it helps us get more listeners and spread the word about this podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify and many other podcast platforms. Work with Purpose is produced in collaboration between Content Group and the Institute of Public Administration Australia, ACT, supported by the Australian Public Service Commission. Public Sector Unearthed will return soon. Bye for now.